Coming up on TMS, time to test Brian.
What did you find in your bun again?
Knife fell out of the sky and into the head of Chinaman.
Oh my gosh, Lauren Bacall has died.
Jeff Bridges has really nice things to say about the Fisher King.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What's in this little blue egg that keeps Barbara Eden looking slim and trim?
Ooh, there's only one answer to that. It's legs, control top pantyhose. See, legs slims and trims, but doesn't bind. So you get comfort and control.
Stretching, bending, standing, setting. There's one pantyhose that's always spinning. Looping, it's a great pair of legs.
What curse of death and disaster haunts the Super Bowl?
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. You have the right to kill it, but you do not have the right to judge it. Boom!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. The mixer's being weird. Hey, that's life, man. Screw it. It's Wednesday, August 13th, 2014. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to what we'd like to call TMS. That's short for The Morning Stream, and it's a Wednesday edition. And that means, it doesn't really mean much. Well, it means Nicole
sure
and Tom.
Does.
That means
exactly.
Something.
That means a lot.
Sure. That means more. That's the meaning that just keeps on meaning, right? Like, whatever that means. I'm in a mood today, dude. I'm irritated. Yep. The internet has let me down yet again.
No, don't.
I'm not gonna dwell. I'm not even gonna bring that one up. I'm just gonna say people suck.
Newsflash: there are a-holes on the internet.
I
okay?
know it's not shocking. It should be whatever. But
let's focus on the joy and the lilt and the always on the edge of laughter in her voice, Barbara Eden.
I just you know what you said to me once, and she nothing beats a great pair of legs for her. You know that.
okay, master.
In that, what's funny is in that commercial, she wears more revealing clothes than she ever did as the genie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, she couldn't even show a belly button on the I Dream of Genie show because of censorship.
Yeah, and this one had like low cut V business chesty thing going on, and a pink thong.
Low cut just V kidding. Business chesty thing. So, that's the name of my Divinyls cover band.
It's actually not a bad title for today's show as well. So, what was I going to just say to you? I forgot already. I know what it is. Here's my. You know when we've come up, we've said this on the show a few times. Someone will ask us what would be our superpower if we could pick one.
Sure.
I have a new one that I just want just right now for a little while. I don't have to have it permanently, just a temporary power. You know, like I'm rogue and I touch somebody who has this power, okay? And it's going to wear off.
All right.
I want to be able to, when I see somebody post some terrible, trolly, threatening, evil tweet or post on Facebook or anything like that, I want to be able to immediately teleport to where they are in the room that they're in, okay? And stand there behind them and go, "What are you doing?" And have to go, "Bruh!" And I'm turn around and, you know, be shocked that there's somebody standing there. And then call them freaking out. Say, "Look, dude, unassuming accountant guy in your cubicle who's got this second life where he's just an evil man. You know, say it to my face. That's what I want to do."
Right. I think the whole "what are you doing" is funny and getting them to be scared. I think just a slap whack on the back of the head. Not like a punch, you know, nothing that's going to leave a bruise or a mark or anything like that. Yeah. Just like a whack.
Yeah,
you know,
just whack. Don't do that again and then disappear again and leave the fear again. In him. Oof. Leave the fear
exactly.
in him.
Exactly. I'll be back.
Yeah. Like Mephisto or the primeval just appeared before you. I want you to remember this.
Exactly.
You jackin' ape. Anyway. Hey, welcome back to the show. Let's do a show. Let's do one proper. Let's just screw those guys. F those guys. We're going to have some fun. Brian, I like to play games with you sometimes.
I enjoy these. So
now, these aren't mind games. These are, well, it kind of is, I guess.
Kind of. It involves the mind.
We enjoy video games together, but in this case, we're going to enjoy some trivia together.
Cool.
And this is more of a, here's the question. Is this real or fake facts?
Okay. All right.
Because I got thinking yesterday, there's a lot of sort of assumptions. Like, we made an assumption, you and I, and even jury, a self-proclaimed student of comedy, all assumed that that Sam Kinison died of a cocaine overdose for some reason.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it was a car accident.
Right.
And there were no drugs involved in the car accident after the autopsy. So it couldn't have been further from the truth, yet somehow we had this thing in our head for all this time and never knew it wasn't true. So here are 30, I'm going to give not all of them, but I have a list of 33 things that may or may not be total lies or actual facts.
Love it.
You got to tell me which ones are right. And you've not seen this list?
No, I've not seen this list. So these are all like accepted truths or like not accepted truths, but like commonly believed things.
Yes, people believe these are true. And in some cases they are, and in some cases they're not.
Gotcha. Okay, bring this on. I'm excited.
So number one, alcohol kills brain cells.
And this is one of the things that you've always heard, alcohol kills brain cells. Yeah. I'm going to say this is true.
You are, hold on, you know what? We'll pull out the current geek tools.
God, okay.
Here we go. No, they do not kill brain cells any more than anything else does. Yeah. Your brain's constantly recycling cells anyway, or, you know, old ones die and new ones jump in, but there's nothing about drinking alcohol unless you drink a ton of it. But that's like saying, well, if you drink too much water, you'll kill your brain cells. So just be careful.
All right. All right. Wow. All right. Off to a great start here, aren't I?
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb.
Oh, shoot. Okay. This one I think is false. Wasn't it Nikola Tesla and Edison took credit for it or got it patented first? That was it. He got it patented first.
You are correct that it was not him.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to skip down here and see if I can tell you who did. Here we go. The ideas didn't spread. The simultaneous invention. Okay, great. Myth of solar inventor. Here's a super quick summary of his wonderful dilation. Okay, hold on. Telegraph, telephone, light bulb. Here we go. Just about everybody is taught Thomas Edison invented light bulb, and as just about everyone learns later, or later learns, Thomas Edison in no way invented the light bulb. Electric lighting existed before him. Incandescent light bulbs existed before him, and other inventors got wind of Edison's tinkerings. They roundly sued him for patent infringement. So what did Edison actually do? He discovered a special species of bamboo had a higher resistance to electricity than carbon paper, which meant it could more efficiently produce light. Edison got rich off the bamboo. So basically, he came up with a better filament,
gotcha,
but did not invent the light bulb. And he made a lot of money from that filament and had to pay a lot of lawsuits off because
Edison was a dick.
He's kind of a jackass.
Yeah. Didn't he electrocuted elephants, didn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't in their dreams?
Well, who hasn't? Yeah. Good point.
That's a horse. All right. You can see the Great Wall of China from space.
Here's the thing. I think you can see everything from space. It's just a matter of like what you use to look at it from space, right? Isn't that the way it goes? It's like
if you had a good enough like telescopy kind of thing.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, there's things in space that can drill down to the postage stamp on the envelope you carry out to the mailbox.
Well, as it turns out,
I saw that on Real Genius. I say no. I don't think you can see the Great Wall of China from space.
You are correct. You cannot see the Great Wall of China from space. For a start, it's the same damn color as everything surrounding it. It turns out that is not a thing you can see.
Yeah.
Nicely done. Twinkies do not last forever.
I love this one. I know this one. No, Twinkies will expire. They will expire after 7 years or something like that. I mean,
good point.
Maybe not even that much, like 7 months or something.
You're right. That is true. They do not last forever.
Yeah.
All right. Kirk said, okay, this is true or false. Kirk said, beam me up, Scotty, in the original Star Trek series.
Oh, this is one of those things like what's-his-face never says, play it again, Sam, because he never did. He said,
"You never did.
Play that one, Sam. You know the one. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think that's also false.
You are correct. No one ever said, beam me up, Scotty. And no one ever said, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. That never happened.
Oh,
except in that parody song that we know about.
Gotcha.
Vitamin C.
Sensing a trend with these.
Yeah. Vitamin C will stop you from getting a cold.
Well, the trend so far has been everything you know is wrong. So I'm going to say false, but God, I thought it provided some sort of resistance. You know what? I'm going to go. Okay.
You're right.
before I talk myself out of the right answer.
I know. This one seems like one that should have it. The supposed cold combating powers of vitamin C have been hailed since its discovery in the 30s. In his book, Vitamin C and the Common Cold, the Nobel laureate Linus Pauling, encouraged people to take 1,000 milligrams of the vitamin daily to ward off colds, although the current recommended allowance is only 60 grams or milligrams. A large glass of orange juice contains nearly 100 milligrams. All studies point to it doesn't work, and it has, has never. So
All right.
Some people will swear by it, but that's because that's what people do. All right, I'm going to skip down here. Goldfish don't have a memory of 3 seconds like everyone says. True or false?
That is true that they don't have a memory of 3 seconds like everyone says.
You are correct. Goldfish have a lot longer memory than that.
Yeah.
All right.
way to try and turn it around.
I did try to turn it around. True or false? Sherlock Holmes says, "Elementary, my dear Watson," in the Arthur Conan Doyle stories.
Oh, I think I want to say that he does actually say that at one point.
Never in the books, not once.
Really, that was added. That was completely added for the fictional.
Yeah, probably.
That was all fictional. Probably
Data and Geordi, as far as we know.
No, I think it was the first movie or something like that.
I'm gonna see what else we got here. Okay, hold on. That's okay. All right. Now that one's dumb. Oh, true or false? You lose most of your heat through your head. You know that whole thing, right?
Yeah, right. Well, as a bald man.
Yeah, how do you? You should know.
Yeah, I don't think I think you lose heat through your head, but I don't think you lose a lot, most of it. I just think that it's you wear a hat and you're going to be warmer.
I'll give you this. Bull.
I know, it's like, I wouldn't say most. I'd say some.
It turns out, that would be, okay, we'll give you some works. You lose heat from your head at the exact same rate as the rest of your body.
Right.
Unless your head is in like an ice bowl, and then it loses a little
more. Well, then, yeah, you gain cold from your head.
Napoleon Bonaparte was short on average. True or false?
I always thought that was one of those things that was based on fact. And I thought he didn't always walk around with his hand in his shirt. I thought, they just saw that famous painting of Napoleon and assumed that he always did that.
Right.
Like,
I love that
George
stereotype.
Washington always has that face, always has that expression of like,
I love that. Lincoln always
what's this
looks
country coming to.
Lincoln always looks like he hasn't slept in 3 weeks. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to say I'm still going to say that the height thing is true, though. I'm going to say Napoleon was shorter than average, even though so far this list has been everything is false.
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah. Gosh darn it. Yeah, exactly. He was taller than average, it says.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
now I don't know how tall the folks there were in your
friends.
Did
he
like
water slides, though?
No, he didn't.
Really? He did not like water slides.
He did not like water slides. See, he was measured at 5'2", or when he died, all right? Mm-hmm. They were larger than imperial units, though. The French inches were different. So what he really was 5'7". That's higher than average. 5'5" was the average at the time. So he was actually taller than most.
Wow.
But there's yet another painting with him with his freaking hand in his pants. What the hell's going on there? All right.
In his pants?
Sure. Why not?
I haven't seen one with his hand in his pants.
It's a little lower is all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Maybe the pants are higher. I don't know. Can't tell. thanks for playing. Thank you all for playing. A couple of pieces of reminder, and then we'll get on to Daryl here. We never tell people where they can watch the show live. We do it live, and we talk about the chat room and all that, but we never really point it out on the show itself. And so you'd have to really dig around to discover it. So I thought it would be important to mention here once in a while. And that is this. If you want to be on the show or be part of the show and be in the live audience, you can listen both video and audio live each and every day, Monday through Thursday, and the TMSPM edition on Thursday afternoons by going to frogpants.com/live. And it's all right there. It's real simple. As far as times go, 8 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern is when the show begins. We go for about an hour and a half, depending on the episode. Well, what am I saying? It's always an hour and a half. At the least.
Roughly.
Yeah. By the way, your polls seem to indicate that's a good time for people. People like
it did,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I did an article for Pottertainment magazine, and it's something that I've always wanted. Here's the thing. I mean, the whole thing really comes after the decision that you make based on content. Obviously, if you don't have an hour and a half's worth of content, don't do an hour and a half long show. Or right. if the type of show you're doing,
right.
Daily Tech News show works into its perfect amount of time.
Sure.
But those the smaller ones that Tom does, and I think those are like just this day.
Oh, the Today in Tech History?
Today in Tech History.
That's like 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah, those have to be 5 minutes. You couldn't do
yeah.
Something like that. But it looked like everyone says, yeah, you know, the ideal time for a podcast is in that boom, that hour to hour and a half yeah. range.
And I agree with the whole content makes the, you know, what you're doing matters most. Did you say Potter? What was the name of the publication?
Pottertainment Magazine.
Oh, then let me play this then.
That's what she said.
All right. That was Colonel Potter. Just had to sneak that in.
I did not make the connection until you just said that. That's funny.
All right. So that's that. Don't forget.
Great Caesar's go.
Exactly. Or horse Perry hockey magazine. Or whatever else he says.
Pottertainment is that magazine.
Ah, very nice. Also, people are always asking, or not always asking, sometimes forgetting that there's a new way to submit your song request. Brian, where do they go for that?
They go to bit.ly. Oh, shoot. Or is it tiny URL?
Tiny.cc, I think.
Oh, geez.
Isn't it?
I think so. Hold on. I should have this tiny.cc/TMS requests. That's
go.
Exactly.
Tiny.cc. We try to be consistent with our URL shortener here on the show.
Criminy.
Tiny.cc/TMS requests. So keep that up. If you got a song to request, that's where you do it now. Emails, you know, we'll still filter through them, but you're likely going to be late or, you know, we won't see it or whatever. So do
exactly.
That.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I'm using two from tiny.cc/TMS requests today.
Yeah. See?
For the show.
See
so
who,
it works.
Got in?
Works.
Yep. And then finally, segment sponsor information. People are always asking, how you do those little segment, top of the segment things? What's going on there? Well, you just go to frogpants.com/TMS. There's a link right there. Off you go. Okay, there you go. Little stuff. Live show times, TMS requests, and sponsor info. All right. Let's do, oh, you know what? I probably should call Daryl before I do this. But anyway, Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
How can you do this slowly? On August 16th. I'll be marrying my best friend and boyfriend of 5 years. I can't do it that slow. Gabe and I met on World of Warcraft in 2009, and since then, life has been one giant adventure. Thank you for your unconditional love over the years, and here's to many more. Love, Courtney, a.k.a. Adouette, in the Tadpole.
Oh, I like it. Well, ironically enough, Daryl's icon shows him how away. There he is. Daryl, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
All right, your thing said you were away. I was getting nervous. But you're not away. You're there. You're right
there. I'm always here.
Yeah, never not gone. Daryl Skeels, everybody. The Trek Nerd comes on the show and answers Star Trek trivia. It's what we do every day. Just freaking get used to it, okay? Quit complaining. Just sit back. Take it in. Enjoy it. No one ever said, beam me up, Scotty, on Star Trek. Daryl, how do you feel about that?
That is correct.
Did they say it in the movies or anything, or was it just the original thing?
Okay. They never said it ever.
All right.
But I have a problem with some of those other questions, but that's a whole different thing.
Oh boy.
Really? Okay. Like the vitamin C one you have trouble with, right?
What was the question on that one?
That was vitamin C. Taking copious amounts of vitamin C does not prevent a cold.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, okay. What one do you have a problem with?
Which one?
Oh, it was the wording of some of them.
You can see the Great Wall of China from
that
space.
One. Yeah. You can see it.
Well, you can with the right instrumentation. Their point was like raw naked eye up in the ship. You couldn't see it.
Well, you got to say that, man.
But how far in the atmosphere? Like, are you saying from anywhere in space or saying from like the lower part of the stratosphere or the.
Or in a vacuum cleaner where all the air is sucked out?
Yeah. No, that's all good. Here's the thing, though. If I said to you, Daryl, hey, are you walking on the street? Can you see that building from where you're at? Well, it depends on what you're asking. Do I have a high-powered telescope or do I have infrared goggles?
Why, yes, I have these binoculars around my neck. I can see it just fine.
Right. I guess they could have been more specific. This is true. Anyway.
Because it's currently cloudy.
Hey, it's Seattle. It's always currently cloudy. So let's dig in here. Let's get to a Star Trek question. It's an original series episode, ironically enough. And this is not a play a clip to guess it deal. Okay, we'll do those occasionally, but that's not what this is.
Gotcha.
In the original series episode, And the Children Shall Lead.
Ah.
The I hate that one too. The Enterprise finds a bunch of children on a planet. They bring them back to the Enterprise. Nurse Chapel gives them all ice cream. One boy named Stevie is none too pleased with his ice cream. He gets vanilla and what other flavor? Vanilla and what other flavor? Your options are A, coconut, B, mint, C, orange, or D, strawberry. Strawberry. So coconut, mint, orange, or strawberry. You got it? You got it? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about that for a minute. And while you do, let's wash it down.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
With a box from our friend. Pull this up. This is from Henrik in Ringsted, Denmark.
Now, that's not what you told me. You said we were going to do something from the box from Jason Jason Reed.
I apologize, but this is the... Oh, that's really weird. Hold on a second. I got a letter in here from Jason Henrik, but Jason wrote... Or sorry, from Henrik Juvedushtoff or whatever, but Jason Reed wrote at the bottom of it. So this is, let me read you what I got. I don't know if you got one of these. You must not have.
I didn't get a letter, but...
Hey, Just Scott, Brian, and Daryl. I really appreciate your show, especially the food segment. Therefore, I will share these Danish candies. Yankee Bar, Herschel something, which is Witch's Howl, he says is the English for that. Spunk Salt Lacrids, which is a licorice thing.
Yeah, licorice, salty licorice called Spunk.
That's not good. Marcy Brand something, dark chocolate, and Skid Patty. I don't like this.
Which is clean off the carpet. After
yeah,
the
right.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate with caramel and rum
Your
cream.
Dog's got the scoots. They leave a little skid patty.
This has rum cream fillings in it. What the hell is that? And last, Flackerschlaver, skin of a pig.
Portraits. Those are the. That's in the Ziploc.
And then this says it's from Henrik Kerstab in Ringsted, Denmark. And then Jason Reed wrote at the bottom in marker, brought to North America from Sweden. Oh. By okay. Unbeliever. So he must have made a deal with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Must have, yes.
So that's like kind of cool. Yeah, okay. I'm glad I read through that because that was confusing at first. Okay, so what's your pleasure here?
I would say pick anything but the salty spunk licorice.
All right. We're not ready for that yet. Let's do the Yankee original just because that sounds American. And
it looks like it. Well, yeah, it is, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it looks like their version of our Snickers bar, basically.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
That looks all right. I had a Snickers the other day, and I was proud of it. It was good.
Was it satisfying?
Yeah, it was. It was saltily satisfying. I may never eat the Spunk Stick. I'm just telling you right now. That may not happen.
Yeah.
All right, I'm opening the... Oh, this looks fine. Mine's a little mushed. Compressed a little, but let's give it a shot here.
It smells good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, it's fine. All right, you know what this is? It's like a Three Musketeers with a little ting to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We'd call that nougat, but it's more caramel in there, huh?
Well, there's a strip of caramel over the whipped chocolate.
That's really good. Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with your Denmark Buchenschlacken, whatever this is.
The thing that a lot of people call nougat isn't really nougat.
Really? Mm-hmm. What the hell is nougat? What is nougat?
It's usually like, it's white. I'm trying to think like a Zagnut.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but is nougat, is it an ingredient or is it a combination of things? Like, I don't even know what
nougat
is.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. It's like... sugar and nuts and sometimes fruit, egg whites.
It's not like there's no like nougat bush where you pull a bean off and like squeeze out the nougat, right?
Nougat tree. No, there's no nougat tree.
All right.
That's what she said.
All right, back in your role. This Yankee bar.
It's made with cat scratch fever.
I really like that. I'm going to finish that one later, not now.
Yeah, no.
But I will. Oh, well done. That's good. Now that probably is the best thing in there. Everything else terrifies me. So we'll get to that later. More Danish food tomorrow. All right, Daryl, how about a birthday? Who's celebrating what birthday?
Oh, we forgot a good one yesterday. We didn't even do birthdays
like
yesterday
you say
for
we,
some reason.
Like we do the research on birthdays.
Well, did we not do a birthday yesterday?
No, we forgot. Totally forgot the whole section.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
It didn't even occur to me.
Really?
Yeah.
We get so caught up in the deliciousness of chocolate covered black licorice
we short term memory loss, man.
That's right. That's what that thing causes. I hear it causes short term memory loss in lab rats.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right. Well, then what?
So I'll just do that one today. That would be Walter Matt Jeffries. He would have been 92 yesterday.
Mm.
He was the art director on the Enterprise on Star Trek, and he designed the Enterprise and the Klingon ships and the phasers and everything you see on TOS.
Wow, that's great. Oh. They gave it all to one dude?
Well, it was a couple people, but he was the main guy.
I would love to be that guy. Well, here you go.
You may now give birth.
That guy is happy birthday to that guy if he was still with us. When did he die? What year?
2003.
Oh, okay.
Well, he lived at age 81.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's all right. Look, if I make it to 80, I'll be a happy pig in poo. Mm-hmm. I don't like my chances, though. I don't like my odds. I really don't. Really? Like, very few... I shouldn't say that. My dad died at 63, but my grandpa on his side died at 81. My mom's side, my grandma died at 83. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, maybe we do okay on average, now that I think about it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you're taking care of yourself.
I am these days, yeah. I do better. But you got to wonder if the first 30 years of your life, if you spent it eating hot dogs and chili, if that was the best choice, you know, that doesn't haunt you later. I don't know. Happy birthday.
I think you can turn it around.
You think I can turn it around? All right. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Let's get back to your Kirsten right here that I axed you. I axed you this Kirsten. About what were the two flavors the stupid kid had in that dumb episode? Was it he had the vanilla, but he also had with that coconut, mint, orange, or strawberry? Which of those four?
Wow. What a weird thing. I would never remember this. I mean, even a long time ago when I remembered every line of every episode, this would be weird.
Yeah. That stuff still come back to you occasionally, like... Songs to a, you know, lyrics to a song or something. Like, you'll just suddenly be able to do words from Star Trek if you're watching an episode and just read along with it.
If I'm watching an episode, I'll just go start talking right along with it. And sometimes if you play clips here, I could do it right along with it, but with the lag, it would look like I was copying it.
I used to do that with Disney movies when I was a kid, like Hot Lead and Cold Feet, Apple Dumpling Gang kind of stuff, those live action deals, the first Herbie movie. I used to be able to just word for word all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah. We'd watch it so many times and I would just repeat it. It was like early VHS versions of those things.
Right, right.
And I would just watch them over and over and over, and then I could repeat them all. So even now they'll be on TV or something, and I'll be and I'll catch myself saying lines. It's weird.
That's funny.
Yes, Brian, you're saying.
Let's see. Matt Goines over Twitter just tweeted a thing from NASA about seeing the Great Wall of China from space.
Oh, where did he tweet it to our accounts?
It is. It's on the at Morning Stream, at Coverville, at Scott Johnson, and at Trek Nerd.
Let's take a look here. NASA vision thing.
Yeah, I tweeted something too.
So is it that? Where am I looking at here? I mean, I see the pyramids, but where's the?
Yeah, the little arrows in that first photo are the Great Wall. That white line that snakes its way through the.
Oh, well, then, you can. That's from space.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, you get a reprieve on that one.
Well,
thanks, NASA.
That was one that I said, I don't think you can see it with, like, the naked eye. So, and again, this is with a camera, right? All so right. Who knows what kind of zoom they've got on that camera.
That's a good point. Visible from space is a very, you know what? Lesson learned. Things are complicated, aren't they? Like, I can see it from space. Well, what does that even mean? That means about 500 possible things, seeing something from space.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? What's the weather like? How close are you? What machinery and instruments do you have?
Right.
You know, like, there's so many factors. Let this be a lesson about life itself. It's complicated.
Wow. All right.
You look at a dude,
sure.
You look at a guy, you know, you think you see a crazy dude drunk down by the park. And you think, I'm just going to call the police on this guy because clearly he is just a loser. There's probably a million shades of gray going on right there, you know?
Maybe that goose isn't the kingpin after all.
That's right, although I went to visit him yesterday.
Oh, really?
And he
did you pay your respects?
Well, last time he chased me, remember? So I thought, let's see how you're feeling today, how tough you are today, buddy. So I went walking down there, and he has this uncanny ability to make horrible honking noises without opening his mouth.
Oh, wow.
So he keeps his beak shut, and you can hear him going.
I make horrible honking noises all the time without using my mouth.
Morning thunder. So I go out there to get near him, and he just made that sound without opening his mouth and waddled out into the water, and all the ducks gathered around him. I'm telling you, he's the kingpin.
Wow.
He's just a good ventriloquist.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess.
His act.
He was throwing his squawk somewhere else. What an odd animal that thing is. I need to get video of him chasing me, and then everyone will see what I have to deal with.
I like that ironic name coined the term good feathers.
Good feathers, dude. That's good. That's really good. Cleo, you better write that down. That one's good.
Mm-hmm. That's points.
Daryl, okay. Question, answer, go.
Okay. It was vanilla and what would they – that was the 60s. Coconut, they would have to do bizarre things to get coconut ice cream, wouldn't they?
Back then,
like,
probably.
Like open a coconut?
Like take boats to the coconut island and –
I mean, they wouldn't have had, like, artificial... Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, I guess the 60s. Yeah, they probably... I mean, everything was probably still natural flavors and stuff.
The existence of Hawaii in the 1960s.
No. I mean, he's meaning, like...
It may not have been a state.
I think you're...
We had ways of getting to Hawaii.
No, but your point was that they... How we didn't manufacture a bunch of coconut flavor in some factory in Pennsylvania then.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe we did. I don't know. I don't know how.
Well, that's what I'm saying anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably wrong, but that's what I'm saying.
It's a fair point.
You're sticking to it. That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
That's right.
So mint ice cream, that would be easy. You just pick leaves and stick them in the ice cream, and then it's mint.
Yeah.
So that would be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Orange. Orange ice cream, though? There's not really orange ice cream. There's orange sherbet.
That's true.
I've never
had orange ice cream in my life that I know of.
Yeah, I'm crossing that one out.
Mm.
So mint or strawberry. Strawberry. That's three syllables, and you would have to pay an actor more to say a word with three syllables. So I'll take mint.
I'm sensing that maybe you've already made your decision on this question.
Yeah. You think mint might be it. All right. Well, let's see if it's as minty as you think it is. Is it mint? Look at us misdirecting. Coconut is the correct answer. Coconut. Same amount of syllables as strawberry, by the way. Coconut, strawberry. He gets coconut or vanilla / coconut is not pleased. After this, Nurse Chapel makes him another one. Here's a clip of that stuff happening in real time.
Well, would you like a surprise, Stevie?
It's coconut and vanilla. They're both white.
There, now, Stevie.
There are unpleasant surprises as well as pleasant ones. That was your unpleasant surprise. Now, what would you like for your pleasant surprise?
Chocolate wobble and pistachio.
Oh, coming right up.
And peach.
Dude, that kid's a little jerk.
Really is. Chocolate what and pistachio?
Chocolate monkey, I think he said. I don't know. well done, Daryl. You are really bad this week. We are two down and nothing. That's okay. Tomorrow is your chance. You can pull it out tomorrow. Pull it out big time tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
I think actually this guy, I think the charity guy actually takes money away from the charity when you have a week where all three questions are missed.
Give me that dollar back. Exactly.
That's right.
Take it out of the children's hands. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Follow him there. This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, why don't you now play a game with us that you're going to title what?
Is this in the Star Trek or in the Utah?
All right. Is it in the Utah?
In the Utah.
All right. Go.
Oolitic sand.
Oolitic sand.
Oolitic sand. That sounds Star Trek. Sounds sci-fi to me, but...
Oolitic sand. It sounds like he's trying to fool us, and that's something I feel like I should know, but I'm not big on the whole, like, geological whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you went down to there are some weird stuff in like Monument Valley or, you know, Red Rock areas around the southern Utah that have some crazy, crazy minerals and sand and rock formation stuff. So I'm actually leaning toward that's a real thing.
Sure. I'll go with you.
You all right with that? Okay.
Sure, I'm with you.
What do you say there, Daryl?
Well, this is the sand formed when calcium collects around shrimp poo at the Great Salt Lake.
Yay! Wow. Shrimp poo.
Shrimp poo.
Chalk one up for the shrimp poo. Finally,
nicely done, Scott.
Finally getting its day in the sun.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by the Hero Movie Podcast, a weekly podcast focusing exclusively on comic book and superhero movies. Brought to you by a film school graduate, an art director, and an amateur comic book historian. Find it at HeroMoviePodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
Also from our friends at Hero Tap, the latest game from InMotion Software, the makers of I Dig It. I remember that game and loved it. It was awesome at the time. It's been too long between titles, in my opinion. And I really like these guys. Welcome to Tapopolis, a city of blue skies, clean streets, and overrun by nefarious supervillains. It is an endless earner. And it's awesome.
Is that supposed to be an endless runner?
No, earner. Like making money.
Oh, endless earner. Oh, okay, cool, cool.
Yeah. Earn fame while offline, even.
I get
you. It's one of these you know, they have these subgenres on the App Store.
Right.
Challenge
right.
your friends and try to beat your score. See how much fame you can gain in this fun new addictive title and take on the endless earner genre. Give your enemies the finger of justice. Follow them at InMotion Games on Twitter for the latest news and updates. Again, that's Hero Tap, the finger of justice, available now for free on the iOS App Store. Check it out today. All right, here's your news.
Okay.
Person finds a swastika in a McDonald's sandwich bun. Now, sometimes you might think, oh, is that like finding Jesus in your potato chip?
Right, right.
No, dude. Look at that link. That is swastika in that
like
bun.
Like it was placed there by...
had to have been.
Himmler himself.
It had to have been somebody who was like putting down the butter or something in such a way.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely... Exactly. That's it. That's exactly it. They probably put the butter on there in that shape before they toasted the bun. And
yep. Great, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I shouldn't have done, though? Yeah, that looks like it's definitely a butter swastika. Yeah. I shouldn't have seen this page because now there's some story about Fox News making Robin Williams' death worse somehow. Let's see what it says here. The death of Robin Williams is horrible enough. The cable news had to make a way of making it worse. After Marin County officers, cable networks chose to first zero in on the details rather than talk about the depression more broadly. Oh, this is just one of those. But Gretchen Carlson, whatever, go away. I don't like her. Let's see. Where were we here? Oh, yeah. Charlay Matisse lost her appetite when she found a swastika made from butter in the bun of the chicken sandwich at McDonald's. Matisse said she discovered the unappetizing symbol while putting mayo on the sandwich purchased at the McDonald's in Moorhead City in North Carolina. What do you think they... Well, never mind. In this joke, does somebody really think they're funny, she says? Is this a joke, she says? She told the local news station. Many people died because of that symbol, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. Well, they didn't die because of the symbol. They died because of the Nazis who used that symbol, but the symbol didn't kill anybody. Anyway, it was especially offensive to Matisse, whose grandfather fought in World War II. Although Matisse employees, or sorry, McDonald's employees offered a replacement sandwich. It's not like a broken clock radio. presumably with a bun. Presumably? Is that the right word?
Is that their word? Really? Presumably?
That's what they wrote.
Oh, no, no,
presumably. That's wrong, guys. Oh, is this HuffPo? Oh, forget it. It's fine. We have a tolerance for that. Yeah, that's not good. Quote, I didn't have an appetite at that point, so I said I'd rather have my money back, she told ABC News, and they gave it to her.
All right, hold on. I'm looking at the Oxford Dictionaries.
Yeah, look that up. Maybe that's a thing.
It's funny. It's listed in the Oxford Dictionary, but...
I don't think that's a word.
I don't think it's a word. I think somebody is the Oxford Dictionary crowdsourced.
Because when I go to Google and type it in, it says,
"Yeah,
presumably." Did you mean presumably?
Yeah, but look at the first link. It's Oxford Dictionary definition of presumably.
Presumably for dictionary. I'm trying to see. Here's a quote. Well, I don't want to read that. That's too long. Yeah, let's see what Yahoo Answers says, because those are always good.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the online dictionary. I was or still am right this day typing a paper with observations. Word 2007 gave me the suggestion of presumably. Anyway, I wanted to know the correct answer. Which one is it? And the guy wrote, presumably. I guess that means that's a definitive. Done. Thanks, Yahoo Answers. No question anymore. It's not supposed to be that. Huh. Yeah, the consensus in all these is that people use that but shouldn't.
Exactly.
All right. That's fine.
And I agree with that. Maybe it's a word. Don't use it.
Yeah,
come on.
Why would you use it?
Don't. When you use that, the terrorists win.
You're just trying to be a dick. I guess you
the swastikas win when you use.
Exactly. The bun swastikas. The bun swastikas. The bun stickas.
Apparently.
I'm never on
national television.
After Grandpa watches the Powerball. The kid is
presumably.
The best. The kid is the best. Is there a better kid? I don't know. I don't know a better kid. I mean,
I don't know if there is a better kid in existence.
He's wonderful.
I don't watch the news.
I think it's because he sounds like some old Jewish man.
He totally does. Yeah.
I've never been on live television before.
All right.
I had to show Tina that video last night.
It's great, right?
It is great. The kid is such a little butterheaded toe ball.
Yeah, I just want to spend time with him. You just want to help him. Oh, yeah. You want to make sure he doesn't tip his paper plate over and drop his Franks and beans on the ground, you know?
Right, his corn dog. Yeah, exactly.
He's just that kind of kid. All right. A knife falls from the sky.
Whoa.
A knife with a K.
It's a divine knifening.
Right. Right. And landed right into a Chinese man's head.
Oh.
Flunk. This is not in Call of Duty either, that you can do that in that game. You can. Have you ever seen those videos where a guy will huck a knife from across the map and it will just kill a dude across the map? It's amazing.
No.
Amazing videos.
That is impressive.
Best thing about that game. Some people get hit in the head by stray frisbees. Others get stabbed by a knife plummeting through the air. It appears that is the case for 57-year-old Chinese man Yin Zhu Zhao. Am I saying that right?
Sure.
Yin Zhu Zhao. I think that's right. The Telegraph reports that Zhao was casually walking to his home or in his hometown of Guangyang.
That's how I'd say that, too.
When he noticed a knife protruding from his head. So where did the knife come from?
That's what he noticed.
I noticed this knife in my head.
So he didn't actually see the knife fall from the sky.
Apparently.
He just all of a sudden noticed that he had a knife sticking out of his head and assumed, well, the most logical answer is that it came from the sky.
Well, presumably. That's what happened.
Okay. All right.
Apparently, as Zhao was walking underneath his high-rise building, the knife fell from the 8th floor, balcony. And it was one of the worst cases of timing ever. Zhao said he felt very heavy weight before bystanders pointed out that he was bleeding. So it must have been one of those deals where it pierced it and hit the part of his brain where he didn't really know what to make of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's my guess. It hurt a lot, Zhao said to the station from the hospital. I cried out, my head hurts, but I do not know what had happened. Well, that's not part of what he yelled. That's really funny to think, though. My head hurts. I would say that, too, if I had a knife sticking out of it. Only hours after the incident, doctors were able to remove the knife from his head. They probably just yanked it out. Chinese publication Cao Jing reported police said the knife had been knocked over by the ledge off the ledge by wind.
Wow. So they didn't know the knife came from the balcony. Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
There's a photo of him there. You want to see him. There's a knife
in his head. Does he have the knife in his head?
Yeah, he's sitting in a chair just kind of hanging out. He's got a knife sticking out of his head.
Oh, certainly does.
Yeah, look at that poor guy.
He looks none too pleased about it, too.
No, he's not happy. In fact. Yes.
Why am I in the waiting room?
Yeah, what's going on?
Do you have anything else besides Highlights magazine?
Is this... Someone has already done Find the Hidden Objects.
Do you have a people from this century?
Oh, my gosh.
Why is Kirk Cameron listed as one of the most beautiful people in the world?
This is before he went crazy. That is hilarious. Oh, my gosh. I hated that when you'd go in there and all the highlights had the Find the Hidden Objects things done.
Yeah. You were stuck just reading Goofus and Gallant.
Yeah, that sucked. Oh, that thing sucked in general. What would they do? Oh, whatever. Whatever, man. What a staple of medical treatment in your childhood. So there's your knife story. Speaking of knives, you use those to cut food, and food, oh man, good food is hard to come by these days. Yeah. Making your own even harder.
Take that knife off the balcony and use it to make some HelloFresh.
Hey, I like that idea. HelloFresh.com, making cooking fun again. Every week, their chefs make delicious recipes. You pick what you like, and they send those exact farm-fresh ingredients straight to your door. Not some finished freeze-dried thing. They send you the ingredients. You make it. 30 minutes or less, boom, there's your meal. I want to save you some money. First, you got to go there, make sure they deliver to you. And they're expanding all the time, so double check if you already have. They may now. HelloFresh.com is the place. The code is MorningStream, and 50% is off is yours with that code. That's all one word, MorningStream, at HelloFresh.com. I highly recommend it. Go check them out. We love them. They'll love you. You'll love them. We'll all love each other.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Hi, I'm trying to get my family together for a reunion. I haven't seen my sister since she was 10, 4 years ago, and my older sister since she started college. I need help to get them all together. Please check out GoFundMe.com/CM78W. Is that CRN or CM?
CRN.
CRN, okay. CRN78W. Signed, Southpaws. Good luck.
Yeah, I forgot it. R and N next to each other in certain fonts looks like an M.
It really does, yeah.
Weird.
By the way, Daryl tweeted and pointed out that the Apparently Kid, mm-hmm. he says he's figured it out. The Apparently Kid sounds like Bill Cosby.
Really? Let me try it again here. Let's hear some.
I've never been on live television before.
I can kind of hear that. Listen to
me. My jello pudding.
Apparently, I watch the news.
My wife comes down the stairs.
Well, it is Daryl who said.
Growling fuck.
There you go.
well edited.
Yeah, pretty good. All right. Hey, look at this. Lauren Bacall died.
Yeah.
She was great. You know what I liked about her? She didn't appear to have a bunch of work done. She looked naturally, yeah. And she stayed beautiful to the end, man.
She did. And
classy
there,
lady.
And with her goes the last celebrity named in Madonna's Song Vogue.
You're right.
Yeah.
Wait.
Everybody else is already dead.
Who were the others mentioned? Marilyn Monroe.
James Dean, Greta Garbo, Marilyn Monroe. Some of them died, you know, before Madonna recorded the song.
Yeah. But that's weird. All that's left is Madonna now. She'll be like that dude who finds all those books and then breaks her glasses and can't read them. It'll be like that.
DiMaggio, Brando, Grace Kelly, Jean Harlow. Somebody gave good face. I guess that was Betty Davis.
Yeah,
gave good face.
Yeah, good face. Oh, yeah. Norman, you old poop. You know, I say that every time I feed the snake because our snake is Norman. The kids hate it. They're like, "What, Dad? What are you doing?" I'm feeding the snake. Oh no, he's feeding the snake, and I'll go, "Oh, Norman, you old poop." Makes them laugh. And well, it used to make them laugh. Now they're just irritated with me.
I was like, "Yeah, it was funny the first time, Dad."
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. Jeff Bridges memorialized his friend Robin Williams at a press conference. I was listening to that Marc Maron interview with Williams yesterday, which he repeated. And man, if you want to hear Marc Maron all broken up, that's an episode to listen to. He's kind of a mess. Anyway, Jeff Bridges, Williams mentioned working with him in The Fisher King and how much he loved working with him. And actor Jeff Bridges says Monday's New York premiere of his film, The Giver, was a bittersweet occasion since the celebration was marred by the news that his old friend Robin Williams had passed away. Williams, 68, hung himself Monday morning after years of battling depression and substance abuse at a Manhattan press conference.
Oh my God, did a knife just fall from the sky?
Close. I dropped some scissors on my hand. It's close.
Oh, jeez.
At a Manhattan press conference to promote The Giver Tuesday morning. I haven't heard of this movie, The Giver. Mm-mm. Anyway, Bridges offered a stirring, heartfelt tribute to Williams. Bridges and Williams co-starred in the 1991 film The Fisher King, playing respectively a suicidal radio star and a delusional homeless man on the quest for a mythological Holy Grail. What a great movie.
It really is, yeah.
I just wanted to acknowledge the fullness of his life, he said in a statement. The joy and the sadness that is in store for all of us, I am filled with both today, as I was last night, learning of my dear friend's passing, Robin, as the wonderful, joyous feeling of giving birth to our child here, The Giver, meaning the movie. The combination was just remarkable. The 65-year-old actor told the ensemble journalists, many of whom he had also interviewed Williams over the years, that they were all clearly shaken by his death. Did you hear the the Conan O'Brien clip where he finds out mid taping of that day's show?
Oh God, no.
That was rough. Those guys were a mess too. Like it's he had a huge impact on this on the entertainment business. No, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
And to the point that, you know, people are kind of reduced to not. And when has Conan O'Brien been at a loss for words? Mm-hmm. He barely knew what to say. And you'll never see Andy Richter as serious as you'll see him right at that moment. It's super intense. Totally worth watching. Anyway, my prediction's true though, Brian. First few hours are shock. The next bit is a lot of heartfelt sort of, oh man, what a cool dude. What a great legacy he left. And I'm so sad about how he died and, you know, that he was that depressed and blah, blah, blah. Right. And then all the buttholes come out.
Yes.
And then it's a parade of buttholes for days. And right now we're in mid butthole day for the jerks that come out of the woodwork.
Right. At least the ones who respond to Zelda on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, but they're worse than that. Like freaking, what's his name? Who's the radio dude? Rush Limbaugh.
No. What did he say?
He's such a jackanape. Here, let me share this with you.
Okay? Oh, geez.
Here we go. Hold on.
I'm going to take another bite of Yankee.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share this with you here.
While I listen.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh says the following. Here we go. Robin Williams killed himself because of a political leftist attitude. he says that, quote, what is the left's worldview in general? Limbaugh asked his audience a day after Williams' death was announced. Quote, if you had to attach not a philosophy but an attitude to leftist worldview, it's one of pessimism and darkness and sadness. They're never happy, are they?
God.
He's an a-hole. Whatever. The thing is, I don't think he really believes that. This is just Rush Limbaugh doing his job. I hate his job. His job is to rile people up and be a dick.
Sure.
What kind of job is that?
But succeeding at that part.
And as a guy who has he himself dealt with serious addiction issues and drug stuff.
Oh yeah,
I think he'd be a little more sensitive to stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
What a jerk.
Ah, what an a-hole.
Yeah, and it's not just him. It's like all kinds of people and freaking.
I've heard it somewhere, but I think Rush Limbaugh is a big fat idiot.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the Al Franken book?
It might have been.
It was somebody's book. Rush Limbaugh is a big fat idiot.
Something like that. It might have been Franken. That sounds like Franken.
Mm-hmm. It does sound like Franken.
In his leftist attitude. There was another... What was the other thing I was going to say that somebody else did? Ah, crap. Oh, something was just kind of weird. Fox News, who has, by the way, access to the Fox Film Archive, 20th Century Fox Film Archive, which 20th Century Fox is the studio that made Mrs. Doubtfire. Was it Mrs. Doubtfire? How's that go? What's the name of it?
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't sound right for some reason. Anyway, they're doing this big tribute where they got Larry King talking about him, and then they're showing clips from his movies, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of having a clip from Mrs. Doubtfire, they went to YouTube and found some guy who cosplayed as Mrs. Doubtfire and danced around a living room doing the Mrs. Doubtfire living room dance.
Oh, no. Really?
It was ridiculous. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I know it's probably some intern and who knows, right? And to their credit, the dance was pretty good. But it was also obviously filmed by, was it somebody's crap cam, like the phone camera?
Right.
What are you doing? The professionalism on display has been
Way to vet your video clips.
I know, right? If you guys want to hear me talk very philosophical about this entire issue, I did an episode of The Diary of a Cartoonist yesterday, and they can hear that all there. And it was down by the lake, and I saw a couple of ducks, so that's fun too. Mm-hmm. So you can go to frogpants.com/diary, and you can hear all about it. All right. Before we move on here, Tweaked Audio is sponsoring the show. Tweaked Audio with their 5 styles, their 7 colors, and they're all earbuds designed to sound great. Capability. That's a sentence is all busted up. I don't know why I said it that way. Noise reduction compatibility and a lifetime warranty. Go get them now at tweakedaudio.com and save some money. 1/3 off the price. 33% off using the code STREAM. STREAM. Stream at checkout with our friends at tweakedaudio.com. Let's take a break. Let's do some music before we get Nicole and Tom in here. So what do we got?
Okay. I've got some covers here, and I have to do actually is make this word wrap because I can only read part of what this says.
All right.
So otherwise you'll get the first part of this person's sentence and they'll be all disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Razor's Edge, Dave emailed in, said, some of my best memories are rocking to Shout with my dad as we drove around in one of his old trucks throughout my childhood. As soon as I heard Disturbed's cover, it has been one of my favorites ever since. Thank you for all you do. Signed, David. And this came into the tiny.cc/TMS requests, by the way. So
okay, perfect.
So use that.
Keep using it.
All right. So yeah, it is a cover of Shout. It's by Disturbed. It's actually called Shout 2000, and they included this on the Sickness 10th Anniversary Edition, which came out in 2000. It's a cover of Tears for Fears. It rocks. And let's get to it right now.
All right. I love the song. I love these guys. I'm a huge Disturbed fan. So
you'll like this.
Yeah, I do love this. And I also love their Land of Confusion cover.
Yes, their Genesis cover. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Really good. Their covers are rad. I wish they would do more. Mm-hmm. They do a very good U2 cover as well for, what's the song?
I'll tell you.
With no name. Joshua Tree.
Oops.
It's famous. I know the song. What's wrong with me? Streets with No Name. Street.
Oh, Where the Streets Have No Name.
Streets Have No Name. I think that's
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, they do. They do.
It's fantastic.
That's exactly what they
do. We'll do that one day in the future, I'm sure. All right, okay. Here it is. It's Shout. Everyone sit still, listen, and enjoy.
Shout! Shout! Let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on. Am I talking? Talking to you.
shout, shout, let me. Come on, then let me shout, shout, shout. Come on, then let me shout, shout, let me. Come on, then let me shout, shout, shout. Clearasil gives you great looking skin, even close up. Inside, it kills bacteria to dry the pimple.
Clearasil's ace, face to face.
Outside, it soaks up all the excess oil.
Feeling first rate, your skin's looking great, cause Clearasil's ace.
Clearasil, for skin that looks great, even close up.
Face to face.
Bye-bye, thank you. You have a good day.
You can hear the smile in my voice. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Hello. Welcome back. Man, that song gets me going. I'm going to go listen to a bunch of Disturbed today. Why not? That's what I'm going to jog to today.
There's far worse things you could do.
I agree. So, yeah. Their entire anthology, or whatever you want to call it, they're like, what do you call that? Discography, mm-hmm. is available as a big giant thing you can listen to on RDO. So I'll get my fix there today as I jog around the Kingpin Bird. All right. It's time to call Thomas Merritt. Is that who we can? No, we call Nicole first.
We call Nicole first.
Why do I get that mixed up?
Whatever you want to do, I'll support you.
What's my
whatever
problem?
Order, whatever order in which you want to do them.
You're okay. You'll back me up. You got my
I'll
back?
I'll back you up. I get your back.
I appreciate that. We're going to call Nicole. We're going to get her on. And we're going to talk about stuff. And here's her theme. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, pull up a chair. Enjoy yourself. Because for the next little bit, Nicole Spagnolo, a.k.a. Nicole Spag, is here to teach us something about streaming or something. Nicole, what's going on?
Maybe not today.
Oh. Not so much today. Well,
oh, before we get into the sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met somebody at trivia this weekend who comes from the same town as you. I'm not going to say the name of it, but
really,
yeah, it yes. won't be a big surprise.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to find out where
you
she
weren't
came
surprised
from.
To find out. Get it?
Yeah, I wasn't
oh,
surprised.
Oh, where I live now. I thought you meant like where I grew up.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Where did you grow up?
In Missouri.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why I was like shocked because. Oh. I grew up in a town of like 600 people.
No. When she told me where she was from, I'm like, oh, I know somebody there.
Yeah.
I didn't say, did you know her?
It's a big surprise, right? It's a big surprise.
Yeah. It's a fairly large town.
Yeah.
Well, is it okay?
Surprise. Yeah. It's a big town.
All right.
I'm not saying what the name is or anything. I'm just saying.
I know you.
It's all a big surprise.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate
sure, no
that.
Problem. Got your back every time. Well, that's cool. So, Nicole, yeah. I'm guessing that we're going to go down the Robin Williams thing here today a little bit. Yeah,
we have to.
Yeah, I think so. I thought this week, I went, what segments this week are going to be most affected? And I knew Jury would want to talk about it, and I knew you wanted to talk about movies and stuff that you could get with him in it. So it was not only a thing I knew would happen, but I'm glad it happened. So lay it on us. Where are we going with this? What are we doing?
Well, I should say there's already a post out there that covers every single movie you can watch streaming. Mm-hmm. And it's over on techhive.com, and there's a lot. So what I thought we would talk about are some of our favorites, mm-hmm. That aren't streaming that we should seek out.
Okay.
Because honestly, if you go on instantwatcher.com right now, pretty much, in the top 10 are all of Robin Williams movies. So you have The Fisher King at number 2. You have World's Greatest Dad at number 5, which is really dark. I warn you, that's a heavy movie.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I've heard of that one. Wow.
Yeah,
that's a really, like, you're going to, yeah, maybe
there's
wait.
Some, there's some dark business in that thing. Yep.
Yeah, maybe wait a little while for that one. The Birdcage is number 7. Jumanji is number 9. Popeye is number 10. Hook is number 11. I think, isn't Baron
Munchausen?
He's barely in that one, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's more
so,
of a cameo, but yeah, that's still
that's
good
number 21.
Yeah.
So you have all these movies. There's a ton. People are watching tons and tons of streaming movies with Robin Williams. So I thought I would pick out a few that, as I was growing up, really kind of impacted me. I remember staying up late to watch. I'm a huge Saturday Night Live fan. Mm-hmm. And I think I was probably maybe in fourth grade, fifth grade, when Robin Williams hosted Saturday Night Live. And I remember staying up and no one else was up. And I laughed so hard that I was trying not to wake up my parents because, you know, it's really late. Mm-hmm. But he was just so funny to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mork and Mindy, that I grew up on that. That was mm-hmm. was my oh, show.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So, a couple of movies that I think are kind of forgotten because he has such a large, it's not only just funny movies. He does so many dramas. And he does thrillers, and one of my, it's one of my favorites, 2004 film, The Final Cut.
Mm.
Very futuristic.
Yeah, I just saw this list, and I don't think I'd ever heard of this before.
Super sci-fi. What the future is? You, as a child, have a thing implanted in your brain that records everything that you do. And Robin Williams is a cutter. And so when you die, he goes in, takes the data, and then builds a memorial from all of your memories and everything that was recorded.
Yeah.
And there's like this social thing that, you know, some people are for it, some people are against it. And it becomes a thriller because there's someone that he a really kind of high profile person. You would think if some people know that they have the device in their head, some people don't know. So it becomes a kind of, I don't know, crazy sci-fi thriller. Mm. I loved it.
You liked it a lot? I haven't seen it. It's got Jesus in it, though, I see. Jim Caviezel.
Jim Caviezel, yeah.
Yeah, he's in there. Mira Sorvino. Mira
Sorvino.
I like her. I'm a fan.
Oh, you guys should watch this. I think you would love it.
Okay.
I'm going to add it to the top of the Netflix, the DVD queue.
You can rent it, stream it for $2.99.
Brian, did you say Netflix? Recommend. That's a great name for a website.
Netflix.
Did I say?
No, Brian did, Netflix. But the idea, right. That'd be a great idea for like a service of like, here are all the awesome things you should watch on Netflix and call it Netflix.
I'm sure the Netflix.com, I'm sure that's available. There's no way.
That's taken. Let's take a look here. And it's not coming right up. Oh, you know what? Netflix owns it. It forwards to Netflix.
Oh, does it really?
That's smart.
That's funny.
They should use that. They should use that for telling you things you should watch on Netflix.
All right. I have officially put it in my queue. So
you should.
I'll watch it.
Super sci-fi.
Yeah.
Kind of keeps you guessing towards the end. Yeah. I really enjoyed it quite a bit.
Is Jesus good in it? I like Jim Caviezel. Is he good in there? He's a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, he's great. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cutter as well.
Oh, okay.
In the film.
All right.
So,
all right, I'd try this. Why not?
The Final Cut.
How did this completely missed my radar at the time. I don't remember this at all.
Yeah. I think it came out, 2004. There was another movie he was in called 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did see
Super
that.
Creepy.
Same year?
I think it came around the same time. And in fact, I think maybe some people might
2002, a couple years before that, 2002. But that is a creepy movie.
That's
for sure.
A creepy movie. Yeah.
It's also a reminder that people used to have film.
Right?
That's what that movie does. It makes you go, oh, yeah.
What is this?
This is how we used to get our photos. That's right. Weird.
1 hour drop off. Oh, remember the 1 hour drop off?
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, God. I remember when you'd actually have to put it in a little envelope at the grocery store and have to wait 2 weeks before you'd actually see the photos.
Yeah. Send it off.
That was weird. Weird time
That's
to be alive.
The, crazy thing.
Totally. Hey,
you guys aren't actually going to be playing PlayStation here while I'm doing the show, are you?
What? You've got, let me guess, Tristan and his friend have showed up.
Okay, you're going to turn the volume down?
To play the PlayStation while you're on the thing. Brilliant. School's not in session yet.
Break the fourth wall, but come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Hey, it's kids.
We talk about Robin Williams here. Exactly. Have some respect.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh dang it. All right, so there's your, what number was that? That was number
one. That was one. That was, so Final Cut, number one. Right. Seek it out. Really good sci-fi thriller.
All right.
Number two, 2005 movie, Robots.
Oh,
another
yeah.
underrated animated movie that I
Oh, really, I like Robots.
What? Yeah, this I gets forgotten Robots. Because it's not Pixar or
not Pixar.
DreamWorks. What studio put this out? Was it DreamWorks?
It might have been. Yeah, it's DreamWorks.
Is it DreamWorks? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so, I thought it was great. I really liked it.
This is a great. I love it. It mm-hmm. shows up on just regular TV, over the air TV on occasion. So you have Ewan McGregor, Holly Berry, Greg Kinnear, Mel Brooks, Amanda Bynes, Drew Carey, and Robin Williams.
And Terry Bradshaw. Just want to throw really? That out, yeah.
Really?
He's in there.
I had no idea. That's funny.
Paul Giamatti. It's a bit, it's a crazy weird cast.
It's a great cast. And the animation's good. I mean, robots, you know, robots were made to be done as 3D animation, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. No, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That was great. Yay.
Buzz Lightyear.
So unfortunately not streaming, but if you have HBO Go, you can watch this.
Oh, it's Sony, by the way. Sorry, it's not DreamWorks. It's okay. Sony. It's the Ice Age people. Same studio. All right. Same studio. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyway, yeah, that's a good movie. My kids were way into this in 2005.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Mateo loves this one, too.
Yeah. Nick was five, which explains why he was so into it. But, yeah, that was a hell of a thing.
So it's safe for me. I'm really into it.
Yeah, look at you. You're a lot older than five. Goodness. All right. So I like this obscure stuff we're doing today. This is good. All right. What do you got for number three?
And then the final one is heavy. 1982 film, The World According to Garp.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God, I'm so glad you suggested this one.
Yeah.
Because, wow, is this just full of amazing performances. There we go. So you have Glenn Close, who plays his mother. She is kind of she's a feminist.
She's a very strong feminist.
Yeah, very, very strong feminist. And she wanted a child, right?
It's an institution or a...
So she writes a book and it becomes a bestseller. And the book is based off of Garp and his sexual encounters, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so she has this best-selling book. So she creates a place for women and transsexuals. And John Lithgow is one of the characters that he's a transsexual football player.
John Lithgow. Wow. I don't remember this enough. I've seen the movie, but I don't remember that at all.
I remember it being it was a good movie. It broke so many tropes and conventions of film that it felt awkward but enjoyable to watch. Like not in a bad way awkward, but it didn't feel like a comfortable movie. You know what I'm saying?
It was completely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The ending is uncomfortable. The performances are amazing. That one scene, you know what the scene I'm talking about, Brian. The car scene.
Oh God, yes.
Oh my God.
Where Luke loses his hand.
Stuck with me. I mean, that scene is so powerful.
I don't remember this at all. I need to watch it again.
Just the way they kind of deliver the news of what happened after the car.
Yeah.
Was that? Oh, that was Jeff Bridges, wasn't it?
Was it?
Or not Jeff Bridges, Jeff Daniels.
Oh, was it Jeff Daniels? I don't see him
on
the list.
Am I thinking of, maybe I'm thinking of...
I know Hume Cronin's in it with Jessica Tandy because they couldn't do anything apart.
Who was the guy that his wife was...
Oh.
I guess, I was thinking of the one with Deborah Winger and Shirley MacLaine. Terms of Endearment came out around the same time. And that had Jeff Daniels.
Yeah. World According to Garp. Super
not
heavy.
Streaming, right? Not streaming.
Oh, none of these are streaming. That's why I'm kind of, he's worth going out to find these movies or paying $2.99 or a dollar at Redbox Redbox is not going to have any of these movies.
But this is available in a lot of streaming rental services.
Oh, yeah.
Prime and iTunes and other stuff,
And they've been out for a long time, so the prices of them for a one-day rental or whatever, pretty affordable.
Yeah,
these are amazing movies.
If you want to watch Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy hanging out together in yet another film together, this is one of those. They're all hanging out together in this. Do you remember them? They were awesome, man. Power couple. They were like in their 80s and still doing movies together.
So ironic name in the chat room.
I just saw that.
I didn't realize that Jeff Daniels was actually considered for the role of Garp.
Oh, weird.
That's very bizarre. Yeah.
Well, kind of glad he didn't get it.
And they changed to Garp and Garper.
Nice. The Garp Room. Yeah, or whatever other Jeff Daniels reference you want to make. These are all good. People should go see them. And the ones that are streaming are also good. All of it is good. I think there's nothing wrong with... Yeah. There's nothing wrong with going back and revisiting all this Robin Williams stuff.
That's right. Were you saying something, Nicole?
I was just saying he's made a few bad ones.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
The
Bicentennial Man.
Bicentennial Man, exactly. What was the one where he was a kid in an adult's body? Jack, yeah.
That was sweet.
Death to Smoochie is pretty bad, I think. Some people like that. I think it's terrible. Death to Smoochie is an awful movie. Then there's something else that I really don't like. I really don't like Hook. I kind of hate Hook.
Really?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like Toys. I love the movie Toys. Yeah. And I think Joan Cusack is so underappreciated in that film for the role that she kind of has to play.
It's a Barry Levinson movie. And I love Barry Levinson. I can't remember if I've seen Toys. That's not the one with Richard Pryor. That's Toy.
Right. The Toy.
LL Cool J is in Toys.
Okay.
That's right. And Andrew Brar. Or not Andrew Brar. Who's the guy who played the president in Fifth Element?
Football guy.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Maybe. I love that guy, though. So you could tell me he's in it, and I'll be more likely to watch it.
And you know, if you want to just watch his stand-up.
Michael Gambone is something. No, that's a whole different guy. That's
Harry Potter's. That's Dumbledore, yeah. He's a whole different race.
Completely age, race.
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Sorry.
So if you want to just watch his stand-up, because he's amazing at stand-up, one of his Weapons of Self-Destruction is streaming on Amazon Prime right now.
Yes, Weapon of Self-Destruction. It's an HBO stand-up, and it's one of the best things ever. One of the best things he ever did. And this is like post 9/11 stuff. It's really good.
Yeah.
If you can catch Mork and Mindy someplace, do, because that stuff's great.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch the episode of Happy Days where he showed up and met the Fonz. That was real dumb.
That was the genesis of Mork and Mindy.
I know but the whole an alien shows up in these shows. It just kills me. I mean, I love that Mork is its own thing, right? But what happened to Happy Days? What was going on there? I mean, they hadn't even jumped the shark yet.
That was pre shark jumping too. Yeah.
What were we doing? What were we thinking? All right, doesn't matter.
What was his handsome? Did he steal the hand signal from
the Nanu Nanu thing from Spock?
Didn't he?
Did he do the same hand
signal? I think it was the pinky.
Yeah, they shook hands like that. No, basically they still did the same like split your fingers down the middle.
Wasn't it?
But they shook hands like that.
So yeah,
like,
you're right. You're right. Because he would make people, you'd have to join your two middle finger crotches
like,
together.
Nanu, nanu, hand symbol.
You scissor.
Yeah, to scissor
scissors, sisters, your hands
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been not only enlightening, somber, but also entertaining. I've enjoyed our segment today. Join us later today. Nicole and I and Brian Dunaway and friends will all be doing the final score later this afternoon. Watch for that. Nicole's also on plenty of other shows like Ladies of Leet and Nerd Parents.
Mr. Dunaway's going to be on Nerd Parents with me today.
Oh, lovely. He's home today or something, right? He took the day off or some weird thing.
No. I just scheduled it during his lunch hour, so.
Oh, all right. I thought there was something like that going on. But it doesn't matter. The point is, that's a good show. People should check it out. I'm on there later this month. And it's always fun to talk about parenting with Nicole. Nicole's bag on Twitter. Anything else? Am I missing anything?
Quizler? You want to close it? Quizler?
Yeah, give us a Quizler.
Yeah.
I almost forgot we were doing these. Yeah.
Yeah. I unfortunately don't have a Robin Williams Quizler, but it's an 80s movie. So it's about as close as I could get.
All right. I'm down.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All
right. Here we go.
Hey, this is real smoked salmon from Nova Scotia, Canada. $24.95 a pound. It only cost me $14.12 after tax, though. I'm giving the whole thing as a promotional expense. That's why I invited clients instead of friends. You having a good time, Mark?
Ding.
Ding. Can I ring in? How do you ring in? I think we both know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Ghostbusters 1, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Ghostbusters 1. Mike, we're going to have to make these a little harder, okay?
Going through the party... with Rick Moranis, and he's
I
love that movie.
Gozer. So he's the gatekeeper. He's the keymaster.
Yeah, it seems like a movie that Robin Williams should have been in, right?
Yeah, it could have been.
No kidding. Yeah.
Could have been. Why not? Here's what I'm going to miss the most is the potential. I love it when actors way down the road in their 70s get roles in independent movies and play something they've never played before. I miss that. Robin Williams will not have that opportunity. And we're never going to get that role out of him. You get him out of all kinds of famous actors all the time, and they blow our minds. you know, Nebraska had what's his name in there, and he was just incredible in that thing. And that guy's been around forever, right?
So when are you talking about Dern?
Yeah, Bruce Dern.
Bruce Dern.
Brian saw that. I never saw it.
I did. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. My point is that these guys get this chance late in their careers, and he's not going to get that one. And it makes me sad because just imagine what cool opportunities that may have been.
Yeah, totally.
That part's sad to me, but all of it's sad. Nicole, thanks a lot. This has been good.
Bye, guys.
May your day be filled with joy and potatoes. I don't know why I said potatoes.
Nanu, nanu.
Bye. Okay.
Shazbot.
Shazbot is right. Let's call Tom. Let's get some tech all up in here.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to know what's going on with Bitcoin.
Yeah. We can say the very first thing out of our mouth should be, what's the deal with Bitcoin? All right. Here's his theme.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Tom Merritt, what's the deal with Bitcoin? What's going on?
Well, see, Scott, Bitcoin is a virtual currency that blah, 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 blah.
You lost me at C. Scott.
There's a lot of blah,
this
blah.
This is how I imagine most of my Bitcoin explanations play with people. Bitcoin is a virtual currency that uses...
Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Exactly right. That's totally great. Tom Merritt comes on the show on Wednesdays, and he spends a little time with us talking about tech news, tech stories, stuff he's working on for DTNS, which will air later today.
I'm walking in on a red carpet laid out by Before Tank Girl in the chat room today, by the way.
Oh, how's that? Explain.
Was it lovely? I know she just laid it out.
Virtual. That's very nice. Yeah, I like that. We're all classy all up in here. So what? What's going on, man? What's on the tips of the tongues of tech analysts around the world today?
Trippingly off the tongue. There's the big story right now is there's Apple rumors are raining down like crazy. Samsung announced their Galaxy Alpha, which has a metal body, which has some people. And a tizzy. Edward Snowden gave an interview where he revealed even more things that he hadn't leaked before. Apparently, Skynet is being built by the CIA.
Whoa.
But GamesCon, have you guys talked a bunch about GamesCon?
No.
In fact, that's probably worthy of some discussion.
Or Ariana Grande's Break Free music video where she shoots rockets out of her chest.
Oh, well, that part is very...
Katy Perry did it first.
Katy Perry has shot everything out of her chest.
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Forget about rockets.
Is there anything that woman hasn't shot out of her?
No, the Gamescom stuff, and I've been following it here and there, is interesting. But the most interesting thing to come out of that so far, and especially from some, you know, sort of tech corporate angle, is that Microsoft has what appears to me to be completely abandoned Kinect. In about a year's time, they went from Kinect 2 is the most important thing you'll have in your living room to... Now we don't care about that, and it's in the garage somewhere. Like, they have really just cut cord on that thing, and I don't quite understand it. Is it just that it was so bad? Was the PR that bad? I don't know. I don't know what happened, but that seems to be every time they get up on stage, and even more so at Gamescom, it's like, whoa, you guys, are you done with it? Are we finished? Was it all a bunch of crap that it was the hot new?
Yeah, you're talking about the fact that it's not in any of the bundles anymore.
Well,
right?
That and that they've got nothing in the pipe,
like
being
none
built
of their
for
games
it
that are coming out or
yeah,
and they don't talk about it. They don't even bring it up. It's as if it doesn't exist. And it's only in light of the fact that it was such a giant deal for them leading up to the Xbox One's launch, and one of the reasons they said it was an important machine. And it was such a huge jump over what the 361 had done and all this other stuff. And it's none of that has come to fruition. I don't get it.
It's well, it's Phil Spencer's baby now, right? And mm-hmm. he was not there when the Kinect was required and bundled in to the Xbox before What's-His-Face left for Zynga.
Right.
So I feel like the biggest reason they've distanced themselves from Kinect is that was the price differential. Yeah. Between the PS4 and the Xbox One. Those consoles are actually the same price. If you go and you buy the PS4 camera, the Eye, it ends up running about the same price. But Sony got such a big boost out of being able to say they were cheaper because Microsoft wouldn't mm-hmm. sell the Xbox One without the Kinect. So I think they're backpedaling really heavily. And then I would combine that, and this part is much more supposition. I would combine that with the fact that developers don't seem interested in including the Kinect in any of their games. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's fact that they haven't been including it, whether it's because they're not interested or not, I don't know. My guess is that they all want to sell cross-platform, especially with Steam really pushing PC gaming right up there into the front. Nobody wants to build a Kinect-related video game and then not be able to port it easily over to PS4 or the PC. And I don't think people are impressed with Kinect as a gaming device. So it ends up being something that is a bit of a novelty on the gaming side and is actually better at speech recognition than facial recognition on the usability side. But it's mostly, that's what I use my Kinect for, is like, you know, every third time that I sit down, it actually recognizes me and signs me in.
Well, right. And then the idea, I mean, if you just take those talks from E3 2013 and you match that with E3 2014, you would think this was a different company launching a different product, because they were so all
and
up.
And that's
in
the Phil Spencer difference, right?
Yeah.
Matrick was the one who was like, no, we're doing it this way. And Spencer is coming and going, that was all stupid. we're doing it this way now.
Yeah, it's weird. Without actually saying it, I feel like they are saying how stupid we were with that whole thing, that they could have come in on par with price. That would have been a better strategy. You know, Sony took a bit of a gamble with that because they were originally going to include that camera. And some say right up to the wire they were going to include it until they found out that price that day, and then later adjusted what they were going to do for their press conference some hours later. It was a gamble for them, you know, because who knew? I mean, that thing could have, the Kinect could have been amazing. If the reviews started hitting that, oh my gosh, the Kinect is, we're in the space age, everybody. Holy crap, look what this thing's doing. That may have changed everybody's tune, including Sony's. But they couldn't deliver. It didn't do what they kept sort of saying it would do. I am totally, by the way, fine with this. This is not me criticizing Microsoft. I am all about this adjustment, because you got to focus on what works and what people want. And I feel like they're doing that more. Them locking down the new Tomb Raider game as an exclusive is kind of a big get. Now, I mean, exclusives in the game industry are not always what they appear to be at first glance.
Sure. It's going to launch. Rise of the Tomb Raider is going to launch on the Xbox One first. It's going to come to the PS4.
Yeah, it's a timed exclusive. They get them. Sony gets them all the time. Microsoft gets them all the time. They made a huge deal out of this one, and a lot of people are just feeding off the whole exclusive like they locked it in for good. But that is not what they did.
I'm upset about the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare bundle.
Yeah.
I'm not a Call of Duty fan.
Yeah.
I don't play. You know, I'm not very good at first person shooters. That's why I'm not a fan. It's not because it's a bad game.
Right.
And yet, a terabyte hard drive
mm-hmm.
with a bundled game for $500, make that Forza or something, and then I'll sell my Xbox.
Yeah. Hell, make that almost anything else, and I'd get it. I don't really care for Call of Duty much anymore these days anyway, but a terabyte, that's a giant bump.
That's great, and that's what you need. It's with so many downloadable games these days, that's, you know, it would switch me over to getting discs to getting almost all downloadables.
Yeah, which I'm kind of already doing, and then just having to delete stuff. But do you know if the white one they introduced, did that one come with a terabyte drive? I may have missed that. Okay.
If it did, I didn't see it mentioned, which makes me think it doesn't. Yeah. But I also didn't see what kind of hard drive it comes with. That's the Sunset Overdrive one.
Yeah, that's a sexy looking box. I think that white one looks really cool.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're abandoning Kinect. I think they're putting Kinect back in its place, which is, here's an accessory that'll do some cool things if you want to pay for it.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft and Spencer even plans for the Kinect to be doing more in the future, but they're right to say you shouldn't have to buy it. We shouldn't make you buy it.
Sure. Good news on the Sony side, though. They sold 10 million PlayStation 4s to date. That's a nice number, man.
And that's sold, not shipped.
Right.
I think sometimes people make too big of a deal out of the difference between the two, because shipped almost always ends up being sold.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do place a priority on, did people actually pay money and cart them out of the store? And that's 10 million that people did that to.
Yeah. They also put out
the other thing is that SharePlay service. Now, here's the tables being turned, right?
Yeah.
Because one of Microsoft's big perceived advantages going into their big E3 announcement was, we're going to let you share games with people. And then the DRM that was involved in that made people cry havoc, mm-hmm. and they turned it off. They're like, okay, fine, fine. You won't be able to play on somebody else's console because we want you to, because you want used games, et cetera. And Sony made a big deal about we won't ever restrict used gameplay. Well, now Sony's got SharePlay, which, you know, limited amount of titles, but you'll be able to share a game you're playing with someone else. They don't have to own the game, and they can actually either like pass the controller virtually or play one-on-one. Like NBA 2K is going to be part of this. You'll be able to play with your friend. They don't have to buy the game.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a big deal. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. All these moves all seem to be the right ones, and they all also seem to be the kinds of moves you kind of have to make, even like bundles. Bundles are usually a thing you reserve for very rare moments of like, well, here's a big giant thing, so we're going to make a bundle for it. They're doing like four bundles.
Yeah.
And they're doing them right away. There's a FIFA bundle. There's the Sunset Overdrive bundle, the Modern Warfare one, or future, whatever, Advanced Warfare, and then there's one other one maybe. But the point is that it's usually a move you make when your sales are not stacking up and you've got to like position yourself to say, ooh, you're a giant FIFA fan. Here's your chance to get next year's FIFA game and do it in style with this bundle and really be the fan you think you are. And I'm not saying any of these things are negative, but they are definitely kind of early second place moves. And
yeah, if I didn't know any better, I'd say Microsoft didn't think their sales were stacking up.
Yeah, that's kind of it. So I guess what I'm saying is take heart, Xbox fans. This is good. This means that they're hungry for it, and this competition is good, and they're going for the core gamer, which is you, and they're interested in that side of things and less now in you can control your ESPN watching while talking on Skype with the Kinect, and that kind of stuff is taking a major backseat.
Yeah, although Microsoft, one of Microsoft's big announcements was DLNA support. And USB media support, so that you can take things that you own, video that you own, plug it in by USB or stream it over DLNA to the Xbox.
Which is that's a good move. That's something Sony stripped out of there. Well, it's also something Microsoft stripped out of there.
Exactly.
So now, you know, these are such good things, guys, because if that's a big deal and people are like, oh, finally, Microsoft gave me a reason to get one again because now I can stream my crap, Sony will probably respond with that again. They'll put something like that back in. This is really good for the industry. But I'm more over surprised how much Gamescom is becoming a place for a lot of giant announcements. Like it's actually kind of become E3 over there.
I'm glad you said that because I was trying to remember, like, am I just not remembering Gamescom announcements from the past? Or does this seem like they really made an effort to make news in a way that they haven't necessarily? In the past, I think Gamescom has been, Here's some game announcements, but they went almost E3 style with the full on keynote full of hardware announcements too.
Well, and Europe is a huge market, and you know,
oh yeah,
they probably deserve an E3 level thing over there.
I've got a theory about it.
Oh, you do? Give it.
Yeah.
Which
Terpstra theory? Goes to Gamescom, right?
Not this year, but usually yes.
Well, there you go. They're like, Terpster's not here. Make the announcement.
Yeah.
some family reunion.
My theory
or
was good. I thought he did go this year, and my theory was going to be that they were trying to impress him.
Yeah, this is the one year he
hasn't
gone.
Either way it works, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like either way your theory is good. My theory is that Tom is one of the finest voices in technology reporting, and you should catch him live every day for DTNS. I can tell you, we're pretty excited because next month, while you're on a vacation with your lovely wife, Eileen, Brian and I are taking over a day of DTNS, which is the weirdest
idea. We have the keys to the car.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to hear
it. It's going
to
be weird.
Joan Rivers and David, what's his face up that bitch is what we're going to be doing.
David Brenner, right?
David Brenner, exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to remember.
That's excellent.
That's pretty good.
No, serious thanks to you guys for filling in for me.
Oh, easy peasy, dude. It's totally our pleasure. So we're looking forward to that. But what should people know about it? What else is going on? Anything you want to tell people?
Today is the 10th anniversary of podcasting.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Really?
Should be celebrating.
Yeah, it was on this day in August 13th, 2014, that Adam Curry posted on his blog that he was going to start adding an MP3 file to his RSS feed because he found it so convenient due to a script he had made that it could just take the MP3 and plop it on his iPod. Mm-hmm. And so the Daily Source Code was born, and we're going to have Adam on Daily Tech News Show to talk about the tech news and also, you know, talk about
Bigfoot.
10 years of being the pod father.
Crazy. I was hoping it was Bigfoot. But I was going to say this real quick. Sorry.
Ask him how to use a soundboard.
Yeah. No, we've had our little rivalry. But this doesn't count. We're obviously not saying, nobody's saying, hey, it's the birth of somebody doing a radio show style format on MP3 files, right? I mean, we're talking about the day MP3s and RSS made it so you could. Yeah,
there's a lot of people who are like, I was doing enclosures delivered by RSS long before Adam Curry. And that's true. People were doing that. Yeah. But podcasting as we know it started with this. Yeah. This is what kicked off the podcasting revolution.
Credit where credit is due. I think that's a good thing. And you know, I was making MP3s for an old radio, an Unreal Tournament radio show back in 99.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Similar thing. I thought Ricky Gervais invented podcasting.
Yeah, right. He thinks he might have.
And that's where you get in trouble when you say anybody invented podcasting, right. All of a sudden 100 arms go up saying, well, wait a minute, I was doing something
exactly
like that. Yes. I was the first person. I invented RSS, says Dave Weiner. So, yeah, I mean, you can get in a lot of trouble there. But there is no doubt that what kicked off podcasting as we know it was the Daily Source Code getting posted in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing I heard. That was the first thing I listened to. And that a month and a half later got me starting a show.
Yeah,
I believe it was that short a distance between hearing the first Daily Source Code and starting my show.
It took me longer.
I felt like I knew about podcasting before August of 2004.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't have because it wasn't even called podcasting in August 2004.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I think it just came on really fast.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
I think it was in October 2004 that James Kim and I started talking about, you know, this podcasting thing, and we should do that too. Yeah. That's just how fast stuff moves on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's had some staying power. It wasn't until 2006 that Apple started supporting it natively, and it wasn't until...
I remember being suspicious of that.
Yeah. There are a lot of professional comedians who think they invented it in 2010. But
right.
Anyway, forget those guys. Yes. I was going to say one last thing. Oh, I hope today's conversation is all about all those awesome memories and about where it's come and how it's gone and all the technology. And then I hope it's about the Illuminati toward the end. Everybody, hey, it's Tom Merritt, everybody.
Don't say their name, Scott.
Here on the morning stream every Wednesday. Ace Detect on Twitter and all around the internet, TomMerritt.com. Tom Merritt, thanks, man.
Thanks, y'all.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye now. Oh, I got to hang up.
Oh, that's awesome.
There it is. Okay. Curry's fine. I'm just playing around.
It's a fun fake rivalry to have because, you know, I owe what I do to hearing Adam Curry in the Daily Source Code 10 years ago.
Sure, credit where credit's due. I mean, you know what's funny, though? I heard you before I ever heard Curry.
Oh, really?
Isn't that funny? Oh, yeah.
And you still thought this was a good idea?
Even then, when, you know, I could do this. I mean, I knew, the thing is, as soon as I smelled it, I went, ooh, new way to do the thing I was already doing. Yeah, you know, like right, I was already doing this crappy website posty MP3 thing since 99. And it was just like, oh, gosh, now there's a real way to do it. And then when iTunes kicked in, I went, oh, no, now there's a big name who's promoting it. And I still to this day think that they're Apple's doing everyone a disservice by not being more forefronty with it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. Discussions for a different day.
Yeah.
And, all right.
You know.
And what's MC Hammer doing?
What?
You know the guy's got talent.
Oh.
And I owe it all to TDK SA90s for getting me. Because it was doing these kind of tapes, like mixtapes of covers and stuff for friends.
That, yeah. Right?
Started that ball rolling.
Yeah. You want to go way back. How about me walking around the house with an old tape and yelling into it like an idiot, like a dumb 10-year-old?
Here's how you do some Quake Map.
All right, that's it for Tom, and that means some emails, and we got some quick ones, and they're brought to you by...
The St. Louis Arch Rivals are heading to Dallas, Texas to take part in the Gay Softball World Series from December 22nd through the 28th. And we're looking to raise money to help offset the cost of brand new jerseys. Please go visit GoFundMe.com/DallasOrBust. Donations of $50 or more will get you an official St. Louis Arch Rivals t-shirt.
If I was making a band, I would call them the... let's see, what is it? Brand new jerseys.
The
brand new jerseys. That's pretty good.
Will they be your brand new heavies?
The brand new heavies. Oh, is there a band?
There's a band called Brand New Heavies. Yeah,
it's probably everything of everything.
There's a thing of everything. But if your team is called the Arch Rivals, does that mean that everybody you play against is your arch rival?
I don't know. Think about that for a minute. There was an old Konami arcade basketball game called Arch Rivals. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
And the art style was from the same... Whoever did the art for that did the art for Alien... What do you call it when... Xenophobes. You ever play Xenophobes? All right.
I think I did.
Where you crawl through the little crawl spaces and kill aliens.
Yes.
Same art as that guy.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I could never play Arch Rivals without thinking about that game. Oh, the memories. All right. I was going to say something else and I forgot, so I'm not going to worry about it. Oh, I know. That's why I called my new video game show, the twice a week new show, I call it Boop, 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 because nobody else is using it. So
that's amazing.
That's why I picked it. Hey, guys. This is from Rishi B. from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
I had Daryl's 1930 song stuck in my head for a while. Finally got rid of it a couple of weeks ago. Then I'm planning a regular soccer game with my friends after work. We decide to do it 2 hours after 5:30. And since I think of everything in military time, I converted that 17:30, 2 hours to make that 1930. There is no peace in life. There is only 1930. Thanks for being awesome, Scott, Brian, and of course, Daryl, Rishi B.
It's like the number 23. It's everywhere.
It's all places all at once for new listeners of the show. We'll see if you can enjoy this here. Here you go.
1930.
And it goes on from there.
Yep. That's the original version too.
I think it is.
Not the 2014 remix.
Who knows? I can't tell the difference. Jason E. wrote in, says his name is Buckhead for reals.
Okay.
I think it's the other way.
I don't think for reals. I think.
Yeah, it's the other way. Responding Avatar, to something you mentioned on TMS 656. By the way, can you believe we've got 656 episodes?
Whoa. What are we going to do for episode 666, man?
Oh, dude. We should do something.
We should.
Just for fun. I don't know. We'll do a devil-themed deal.
Right.
Just wanted to let you know that you don't have to, or we don't have very many hipsters in Seattle, because I was talking about all the hipsters in Salt Lake.
Nope, they're all in Portland.
rest assured, I am not in the least offended by the allegation that we are rife with discarded PBR cans and handlebar mustache residue. On the contrary, I like hipsters and I wish we had more. We have a few weirdos, to be sure, and occasionally you'll find a metrosexual on a fixie sporting a Cessna team building picnic 1993 t-shirt, but not nearly as many as Portland or Brooklyn. I think it's all the Microsoft, Amazon, Starbucks, not to mention Valve types. We're too nerdy to be hipster. We try with every half calf, double decaf, extra mocha latte, Sino with a twist of lemon, but then it rains and we go inside and play Dota 2. For what it's worth, love the show. Thanks, man. Nice. That's good to know, actually, because I made some generalizations there.
Yes. Oh, shit. You? And, you made a generalization?
I know. Look, I'm not here to shock, but that's what I've done. Clearly, I've shocked you. Wow. Bernie W. wrote in. Okay. Says, here we go. I've had a Bernie W. before, if you know what I'm saying.
If it persists for more than 4 hours... Consult a doctor.
Have a look at that. Hey, Scorch and Beto. You were talking about the new Transformer movie that is coming out and lack of importance for Arnold being
in it.
What did I say?
Transformer.
I did? I think I've had a Terminator. I recently watched Terminator Salvation. I agree with Brian when he said it wasn't that memorable. It's true. It's C+ at best. The motorcycle Terminators were neat, and the 40-foot Terminator had an awesome, unnerving sound it made. Otherwise, it was just all right. It was the movie that Sam Worthington did right before Avatar. It's just like it's also the Christian Bale freakout film. You can pinpoint the scene where it happened. The strangest part was Arnold shows up near the end as a CGI version of himself. See, you don't need Arnold in your movie after all. Love that show. That show, I love Bernie W. Yeah, I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never got around to it, but Sam Worthington, what's he doing?
Right, he's definitely got talent.
He's not doing Jack. I don't know. I think he's kind of boring. So
he
did
that. Wasn't he just in that Rush movie, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Rush? Was there a Rush movie? The one,
the
band?
Not about the band, but the race car movie.
Oh.
I think I am thinking of something else. Never mind. Or someone else.
Yeah, it was Chris Hemsworth.
I'm thinking of Hemsworth, yeah.
Yeah, that was Hemsworth and... oh, no, that's a show on USA. Rush. Yeah, Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl were in Rush. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Yeah. Well, you know, let's find out. Chris, what's his name? I already forgot now. Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington. Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
He's in pre-production. He's in pre-production in Avatar 2, as well as Avatar 3 and Avatar 4.
I heard they're filming those all back-to-back.
It looks like they are, yes. Mm-hmm. And releasing them 2016, 2017, 2018.
Tons of pre-production.
He's got a lot of stuff.
Jeez.
Holy cow, he's got a lot of stuff in the hopper.
You don't get till down like 12 things down. He's got a completed something in a movie called Cake, where he plays a guy named Roy. Right. The Keeping Room, Sabotage, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
So Wrath of the Titans was the last thing that I was aware of. But what's so is Drift a race car movie? Oh no, it's a surfing movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm here to tell you, I don't think things went great.
No. So he's got a movie called Cake, a movie called Paper Planes, a movie called Kidnapping Freddie Heineken, a movie called Everest.
He just looks like he's not sure he wants to be there. Look at him.
His IMDb picture?
Yeah. All his photos, everything. In movies, too. He just looks like he's not sure he wants to be there. I get that feeling. I get that vibe off of him. Like, yeah, I don't want to be here. Why am I doing this again?
Like his internal sound is,
I don't want to. I hate crowds. You know, like... I don't know. I could be wrong about that guy, but I've always gotten that vibe off him. All right, next up. Oh, by the way, that Bernie is probably Bernie Walter. That's who that is. I'll bet. The W, I mean. Okay. David wrote in, I know you will talk about this tomorrow, and I thought I'd put in a couple of words. He's talking about Robin Williams, so this email is a little older. There's a long backstory where essentially I was the IT geek to the stars. Back in January 2009, I was working at the Sundance Film Festival, and Robin Williams had a premiere movie, World's Greatest Dad. So that was that year. So here in Salt Lake, right? Well, here in Sundance. Right. I got invited to the post-premiere party, which was essentially pizza and beer with the crew in a cabin. Very low-key and fun. I was hanging out on the deck with a couple of the crew, and guess who comes out? We spent an hour just BSing about everything from politics, current events, movies, and music. Robin didn't know me at all, but he was as friendly and as open as you can imagine. He was low-key, but his wit was lightning fast. It's one of the things I'll remember for the rest of my life. Four dudes shooting the shit on a cold January night, and one of the guys is Robin Williams. He treated the four of us on that deck like he'd known us forever. He will be missed, David.
Aww. That's really cool.
That's really cool. Wow. A little inside info there. He did seem like that kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, totally did. Yeah.
Sadly, he just... Internal, man. The internal stuff is so bad, so hard. Ugh. Anyway, he will be missed. That's it. We're done. That's the show. If you want to contribute your own emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. I would like to direct your attention to the website where you can find all else, frogpants.com/TMS on Twitter. Follow Brian over there at Coverville. You can follow me @ScottJohnson, and you can follow this damn show @MorningStream. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Daryl. Who else? And you, Brian, of course. Duh.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And by the way, there will be a Coverville today. I know with the missing Monday, our dates are all screwed up here.
Yeah.
A tribute to Robin Williams, a set of music, covers by Robin Williams. He's done actually quite a few. A tribute to Eric Carmen and the Raspberries. I don't know if I'm going to play that horrible, horrible song from Dirty Dancing, but we'll see. Maybe I have a good cover of it. Yeah. Tanita Tikaram, also celebrating a birthday, and Danny Bonaducci. So maybe some covers of and by the Partridge Family.
Oh.
Big, big stuff on the show today. So listen for that.
He looks like, you know what Danny Bonaducci looks like to me?
He looks like a foot that's been walking through some broken glass.
Close. That's pretty close. Mine is, I see a old peach pit that has been left in the sand on a beach, some public beach. Like a nasty, sticky.
Happy birthday, Danny
Happy
Bonaducci.
Happy birthday, Bonaducci. May your day be as long as your something.
The ripe old age of how old is he? 55.
I knew it was 55. Close.
Yeah.
You look like an old peach pit, buddy. Good luck to you. All right, that's going to do it. Let's play some music.
All right. How about a song?
Okay.
You want me to do a song?
I'm down
song?
With that. Down
song?
With it.
All right. Dear Shakespeare and
sorry, she wasn't supposed to talk.
Aww,
sorry.
She's in the Utah.
I know.
By the way, it was great stopping in Green River, both on the way out and on the way back to Vegas.
Yeah.
And getting gas right across from
the
Book Cliff Lodge. Yes, I thought that was the irony or the coincidentalness. I don't know, Alanis. You tell me.
Yeah, you tell me.
All right. Daniel wrote in, said, Dear Shakespeare and Bacon, this Monday will mark the beginning of my 10th year as a high school English teacher. Like most English teachers, it was meant to be my backup plan to being a full-time writer. Still working on that book, by the way. I listen to TMS on the way home from work, and it's a great release from the day. And I have framed print. I have a framed print of Scott's You Shall Not Pass above my desk that I point to from time to time. All right. So that's cool in the classroom.
Yeah.
Could you play a cover of Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 either Monday, August 8th, or any time that week to help me through my mourning period for the end of my summer? Despite Scott's stubborn refusal to sing I've Got My Mind Set on You in the voice of Bane, still love the show, though. Signed, Daniel J. Collins. Muroy Jenkins in the Tadpole.
I've Got My Mind Set on You.
I can't sing it, though. Bane doesn't sing.
I've got my mind set on you.
Listen, Gotham.
Your punishment will be severe.
More severe. Take back your city. I haven't seen it in long enough time. I feel like I've deterred from the source.
The actual.
I got to watch it again.
All right. Anyway. So a cover of Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. Well, we rocked you out for the mid-show song. Let's continue the rockin'. Yeah, shall we?
I like that.
This is the class of 99. Now, if you saw the movie The Faculty, you heard this song because it was used in there.
That's the one where Jon Stewart gets a pencil in his eye.
Exactly the one. I think it fell from an eighth floor balcony, if I remember that movie correctly, but I'm not exactly sure.
You would say that right when I was drinking. Oh my gosh.
Good. Let's see if I can get the soft spot of the anus reference choke going for you now.
Oh my gosh.
The class of 99 is made up of Lane Staley, Tom Morello, Stephen Perkins, Martin Lee Noble, and Matt Serletic. So
Tom Morello, man.
Jeez. I'm sure. Yeah, probably should have had you at Lane Staley.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Lane Staley, dude.
Right.
He's dead now, though, right? Isn't he dead?
He is, yeah.
OD'd.
The rooster. Wasn't that the song was about him, right? The rooster?
Hey, they've come to snuff the rooster.
Anyway. Class of 99, their cover of Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 from The Faculty.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Therapy Thursday on tap. Wendy should be here. I'm looking forward to that. See how she's doing week 3 into her weird traveling to
the Swedish experiment, the great Swedish experiment,
the slums of Sweden, wherever she's at right now. So we'll do all of that tomorrow. Be here for then. That's going to
be here for then.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
Teacher. broadcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Pull up a chair, America.